Anytime I catch a pregnant woman, I give them one scripture. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 9. Just read that scripture. That is all. Because that scripture has said everything that you desire. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 9. It has said everything that you desire. Sometimes I think we talk too much. The Bible says that God is in heaven and you're on earth. What's the conclusion? He said, therefore, let your words be few. Too many words hinder their... Trust me, it hinders the release of answers to prayers. Too many words. Because in the process, the Bible says, in the multitude of words, sin is... that is composed with sin, we enter somewhere. When you talk too much. Let your words be... And listen, God doesn't need to be persuaded though, about those things. I hope you understand what I'm saying. It's not as if you talk long enough. Say, Lord, I've come from work. Are you ready? It's the same thing I've been saying for the last 3 weeks. But the way I said it, apparently you don't like it. So, let's use another argument. And you keep on going round and round and round. There is nothing... Listen to what I want to say. There is nothing you can persuade God to do. If he did not want to do it before, you will not be blessed by it. You hear what I said? If you have to talk God into doing that which he didn't want to do. Yeah, it happens. People can do it. He didn't want them to have meat in the wilderness. They asked for meat. They got the meat. They were not blessed by it. I have seen people pray God for things that he didn't want them to have. They got it and they wish they could return it. Yes. What I'm going to emphasize there is that we're not trying to persuade the Lord to do that which he didn't want to do. We are only saying that which you want to do. We are giving you our voice, our authority as, you know, the heavens are the heavens of the Lord, the earth you have given to us, so this is our land. We are saying, come and do it on our land. That's what we are saying. So that's what prayer is. It is simply that which is revealed. What is, you just repeat the same thing. If you have to talk about it, you just take that word and lift it up. That word becomes the standard that you lift up every time you have to utter a prayer about a thing. In fact, one of the things I'm excited about in this short series of teachings we have done about praying for a nation, that one side of it we have not used for a long time is to decree judgment against iniquity in the land. Listen, you take those two things and you don't change your mind. Every time you have to do it, you, of course, we talked about it. Number one, the most important thing that every nation on the earth needs is what? The gospel of Jesus. They don't need peace. They don't need prosperity. They don't need water. They don't need sun. They don't need rain. First of all, no. Those are the things that are added. The first thing they need is the light of the gospel. So if you have to pray for this nation, it's the first thing you always ask God for, including the penetration of the gospel into Sambisa Forest. Don't think God is afraid of the place. He's not. He's not. He is not. This book that Odejiku is holding there. I hold it up now since we were holding it before. The man inside that book, the man who wrote the book, once he said one day a very notorious criminal in their area was looking for him. He has armed guards. He has, you know, people like that. Did I say armed guards? He has armed touts around him. So one day he got up and walked into the man's, went to the man's den, knocked at the gate, said, I want to see the big boss. And they walked in simply and told the man, I heard you are looking for me. I have come, so let me see what you want to do to me. So and that's just a Christian, not God himself. So what gives the impression God is afraid of Sambisa Forest? God can send a man. Americans can't find him. Nigerian army can't find him. God will just send one man. He walks in into Shekau's cave. Shekau, come. God sent me to you. And that one will start trembling. And that's not a joke. He just said, God said, I should tell you, this is enough. He said to him simply, you have 24 hours to end this, or he will end it himself. Don't think God is afraid of such things. I told you about the book I read about how God is spreading the gospel inside Saudi Arabia. But we don't realize that these things can happen. So what do? We keep on closing and binding. And if we bind, remember I said at the beginning, he can't do anything. Our job is to do what? Loosen. Our job is to loosen. So I'm explaining the principle. That's what we do. When we're praying for the country, first thing you do, always never forget it. Never forget it. Never forget it. The first thing we need in this country is not a stable currency. It's not good leaders. Are you getting my point? It's not economic prosperity. It's not security. The first thing we need is the gospel of Jesus to penetrate into every angle, every corner, every cranny of this country. And therefore, that must be the thing we utter every day. It must be the thing we utter every day. And what I mean by utter? It is simple. You've heard it. It is the will of God that nobody should perish, but everyone should come to the light of truth, come to repentance. So he said, how will they hear except somebody is sent? And Jesus said, pray the Lord of the harvest that he will send laborers into the harvest field. It's very simple. Therefore, you hear of cultism on the campus, because, you know, while are they everywhere? You have Boko Haram in the north, you have cults in the south. All of them, they do the same thing. So you hear of cultism on one campus in the south, you need to pray that prayer. Lord, send laborers into your harvest field. Anoint your men, anoint your children, anoint women, anoint everyone to go in and spread the gospel. As it is written, how will they believe except somebody is sent? So we are praying the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Send laborers into the harvest field. At such time, you start speaking in tongues. If you can, it is fine. If you can't, don't worry about it. Listen, it's good to pray in tongues though. Like Paul said, I thank my God that I pray in tongues more than ye all. So I believe in it totally, entirely. But I can assure you, no matter how good the tongue you are praying is, it is not superior to the revelation of the word of God that you utter simply. It's not superior. Your village needs road. Amen? Amen. They need water. Amen? Amen? But that need is inferior to the need of the gospel. So, when it's Christmas time, you pray the Lord of the harvest that when you get to the village, everybody's going around feeling very happy. You take a stroll around the place and say, every corner of this place, Lord, let your gospel fill the place. Every corner of this place, let your gospel penetrate into the Igwe's palace. Let your gospel penetrate down to the Juju man's cave. Let the gospel penetrate. Nobody's forcing you. Did somebody say, go there and go and preach? That's the problem with Christians sometimes. Zeal. Zeal without common sense. Are you getting my point? Yeah, they never pray the Bible. They say, yes, I can go there and go and preach. Okay? It's good. If you can go. Did I say you shouldn't go? But in case you can't go, don't worry about it. You know, I think we worry too much. Do less worry. You see, if the man, he will stone you if you come near his shrine to preach. Why go near his shrine to preach if they are going to stone you? So, Pastor Mark, what are you saying? Jesus said, if you have stoned in one shrine, go to the next shrine. Is it not in the Bible? You never read it before? You stone Christians, you still want to preach there by force. And obey the words of Jesus. If the man throws stone, go to the next shrine. So what am I talking about? He said, if you are persecuted in one city, flee to the next. Not as if Jesus was angry or was afraid. He just simply reasoned that. And that's what he said. There are so many cities to go to. Deliverers are not enough. Why waste time on the man who is persecuting you? No, it's simple economics. Are you getting my point? That's what he was doing. It's business planning. Business planning. Jesus watched it. Laborers, the harvest is... the laborers are what? Why should the few laborers be wasting time on the harvest field that doesn't want to be harvested? So he said to them simply, if the harvest... it's been a bit tough. You go there, you shake the tree. You know, 1-4. Leave it first. It never ripe, rich. It's not yet ripe enough. He said, there's a time those people will say, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. See, they haven't said it yet. They are still pursuing. Leave them, leave them. Go to the next place. Not as if he's angry. You must understand the principle. It's simply simple economics. How can I be wasting? It's Pareto principle. Are you getting what I'm saying? You see, Jesus knew all these things. All these things, in fact, he was practicing long ago. So if the Babala wants to stone you, shouldn't come to the shrine. You know what you do? Give him space. That's what I'm trying to explain. As you are leaving, pray for him. He can't stone the man praying, can he? He can't see you now. You stay behind one tree, even down to his shrine. Let the gospel of Jesus penetrate. Meanwhile, let me go somewhere else where they are not doing any stoning. It may sound funny, but what I've said is a matter of fact. The point I'm trying to emphasize is that Christians often neglect that prayer part first. They want to use zeal to go in. You can do the praying and somebody else do the going. You can do the praying and somebody else does the going. What I'm teaching is don't forget to do the praying. So remember, that's the first thing everybody needs. Your village needs it. Our state needs it. The nation needs it. That's the first thing that we need. Number two, as we're asking God for his blessings upon the land, that's after that gospel, you ask God for his blessings upon the land, and you also ask that he should release his hand and judge evil in the land. Listen, God does not pour a blessing on people that don't repent. His first blessing, his first blessing on people who are doing wickedly is correction. That's it. God will never bless your mistakes directly. It's only after you have repented that he can make it appear as if he did not make a mistake. What he does is to correct people. You cannot tell him not to judge iniquity in the land. If you don't tell him to judge it, the blessing you have prayed for will have no place to be planted. And remember, do you have to feel, I'm feeling angry today? You don't have to feel angry today. It is just that the Lord saw injustice and he was displeased. And you know. So you know if you see injustice, God is not pleased. And what scripture did you read that time? Let's read it again. Psalm what? Psalm 45. Thank you for reminding me. Psalm 45. The main thing I'm trying to say today is, as we're executing this assignment of praying, if a burden comes upon you, such that the thing grips you, like one brother said those days, it grips you so much your stomach tightens. Instead of praying in English, you are groaning. Have you ever seen people groan? Yeah. Yes. Some groan, they say it's a habit, you must groan. After you have done intercession and prayers, you now do what? Groaning. Say, brethren, it is time to groan. So this guy laughing. Why are you laughing now? If you don't like to groan, leave those who want to groan. Some people like to groan. I don't think it's bad. But I have seen genuine groaning. You know, genuine. It's just a burden in your heart. And it just comes, can't say that this is just a burden. And even though you don't have words to use sometimes, the Holy Spirit is actually still saying something through little words that are coming out of your mouth. That happens. These are spiritual manifestations. Okay? I'm not making light of it. I'm just trying to bring out an issue. It's not compulsory. That's what I'm saying. If groaning comes to your heart, go ahead, brother, groan. Go ahead, sister, do what? Groan. I actually don't recommend you just groan like, it's time to groan. Let's begin to groan. One more time. You get as it be. Are you getting my point? It is get as it be. Are you getting my point? Yes. Even though you don't have it. One thing that works all the time, that's why I'm doing all of these things, is to take the word of God and just, let me put it like this, just read it out. Yes. Christians must learn how to do what? Read things out. Just take the word of God and what? Read it out. Just read it out. What do I mean? Let's go back to that Psalm 45 again. From verse 1, it says, my heart overflows with a good thing. I address my verses to the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Notice that I address my verses to the king. How do I write? I use my tongue to write to the king. And what do I say to him? Let's start from verse 3. Let's continue from verse 3. It says, guide your sword on your thigh, O mighty one. in your splendor and your majesty. He said in verse 4, and your majesty ride on victoriously for the cause of truth and meekness and righteousness. Let your right hand teach you awesome things. Or like one version says, let your right hand show awesome things. That is, do awesome things. He said, your arrows are sharp. The people fall under you. Those are the awesome things that the right hand of God will do. Your arrows are in the heart of the king's enemies. The king here being the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. He said, you have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of joy above your fellows. Now, let me stop here. Now, the most important verse we took from here last night, which I want to repeat again, is that he said, guard your sword on your thigh, O mighty one. He said, in your majesty, ride on victoriously for the cause of truth and meekness and righteousness. Let your right hand demonstrate awesome things. Let your right hand do execute the judgment of God. Listen, you say that you're not calling anybody's name. You hear what I said? You are not calling anybody's name. But one thing I understand, there was a time, I keep on forgetting which one of them now. Was it Ezekiel or Jeremiah? One of them began to prophesy. If you need to prophesy, somebody collapsed and died. And he did not mention the fellow's name. He didn't see anything. He didn't say, this is what people are doing. Just watch, oh, God will judge. I am going to pray about you people. All of you are going down one by one. He didn't say that. The man just came to the temple. Thus says the Lord, it shall come to pass. And he was just narrating and talking and talking. And as he was about to go, boom, one big man fell there and died. Even he was alarmed. He was not expecting the man to die. Are you getting the point I'm making? What I'm trying to say here is this. When we offer the word of God up like that, then he starts doing awesome things. I was saying to you earlier, we all assume that in a nation like this, the power of incumbency, you can't remove the sitting president. It's a lie. Am I saying this president is not coming back? I'm not talking so. I better go. I just preached my gospel. You get my point? I didn't mention anybody's name. But what I am going to say is simple. When I want to pray, I'm going to say to the Lord in simple terms. All right? Elevate the righteous, using Derek Prince's words now, and bring down the wicked. Let those who would not promote truth and support judgment against wickedness, let them be removed. And let righteousness be exalted in our government. Let righteousness be exalted. Nobody's name is being mentioned. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. But as you are declaring that, of course, this is Nigeria. You know the political parties. You're thinking about the electoral process. You're thinking about governance. You're thinking about everything that has to do with rulership in Nigeria. And you continue to declare those words. Elevate the righteous, bring down the wicked. Anyone who will not support the defense of truth, who will promote iniquity, who will promote wickedness, bring him down. Elevate those who will support this word that we have just read here. As the Lord is riding on victoriously for the cause of truth and meekness and righteousness, Lord, judge your enemies. Who are the enemies? Those who are not flowing with him. I don't know what I get my point. When it comes to that political office, God's enemies are not Muslims. Are you hearing what I say? No. You see, you must understand, things are judged in context. When it comes to political office, it is not God say, everyone who's not a Christian is my enemy. Lie. In fact, in today's Nigeria, the proportion of Olis, you know what they call Oli? It's about the same amongst those who claim to be, I'm not saying true Christians, those who claim to be Christians and those who think they are Muslims, all of them put together, I think it's about the same proportion. So don't worry about that, all right? That's not, God is not deciding. If you are not going to one of my churches, some of those going to those churches, I fear for them. All right, Jesus doesn't know them. You know, Jesus doesn't go to church. How many of you know that? He doesn't go to church. All right, he really doesn't. All right, when he wants to judge people, he goes to where? Their homes, their offices, as they are walking on the road, that is where he goes to check whether you are a real Christian or you are not. He doesn't go to church. He knows your tithe is complete. He knows. The only person who is checking it, in case you did not know, should I tell you? Your pastor. The church elders are the only people counting your tithe. God does not. Let nobody lie to you that that's why he's prospering you. It's a lie. What did I say? What am I trying to say? That is not how he checks whether you're a true Christian. If he wants to check whether you're a true Christian, you know where he goes? Your office. That is where he goes. That is where he goes. That place where you live your daily life, where you do your daily business, that is where he goes to check whether you're a true Christian. So let's leave that. Let me quickly drop that one for politics. For that reason, I forbid you as a believer, if you are listening to this, to go and gather around people and say, this one is a Christian, let's vote for him. Forget that one. Vote based on your convictions. If your conviction includes the fact that he's a good man, are you getting my point? Vote for him. That time when Brother Tunde Bakare was contesting as a vice president, that time I was contesting, I made up my mind I won't vote for him. If he was the presidential candidate, even if I didn't want to vote before, that day I will go and vote just so I can vote against him. Say, Brother Tunde, you will not get this vote. I, Banky, will not vote for you. Go to church and go and prophesy. It's my opinion. If Buba Marwa had contested, is a presidential candidate, Brother Tunde Bakare, on the other side, Colonel Buba Marwa or General Buba Marwa retired, I, Banky, would have gone and voted for Buba Marwa, Brigadier General, retired. Barrister, Reverend Pastor, Tunde Bakare, lie. Why? It's my conviction. I just feel that, Pastor, please go back to church and go and do what? Prophesy. Now, did you notice? It's what? My conviction. Am I correct? Yes. As far as my vote is concerned. As far as your vote is concerned, I may be wrong. I think Christians should be able to disagree on candidates and say, come to church and agree. I don't know why you get my point. We should be able to sit down, pray in agreement, and God will hear our prayers prayed in agreement, yet we'll go to vote, we'll vote for different people. Because our prayer didn't mention any names. Did it mention names? We both agreed that God should fight those who are fighting him. Is that not so? Let the king's arrows be in the heart of his enemies. We all agree. It is your problem if you decide you want to be God's enemy or God's friend. That's our prayer. Then when it comes to candidates, we now start selecting candidates as we like. If you are retired, I say that I don't like tall candidates. These tall people, I don't think they are very honest. It's your problem. Are you getting my point? When we say any candidate that smiles too much, be suspicious. Be suspicious. So, one will not vote for Buhari because he's too tall. The other one will see Donald Duke and Benga Daniel and say, no, I won't vote for them. All this smile that they are smiling is not honest. These are all the things God adds together to bring out his winner. He knows somebody will vote for one reason and that is not affected by prayer at all. What I mean there is whether you vote for this person, a preacher can pray hard and vote for a particular candidate and that one loses because his prayer does not reveal to him who to vote for. The will of God will still be done if we pray effectively. I hope you are getting what I'm going to explain. That's why I said that prayer, it's very simple. Once there's one man of God, I won't mention his name. He's an American preacher. I used to follow his message all the time. In fact, I joined his mailing group. So one day, he was always campaigning for the Republicans. You know Republicans? Yes, in America. Because the Democrats are devils. Republicans are conservative and supposedly good people. But you know the truth? The iniquity in America is shared into two. Half, you know, the iniquity of Sodom and Gomorrah is shared into two. Half is done by Democrats. The other half is done by Republicans. Homosexuality, immorality, all of that is done by Democrats. Not caring for the poor is done by Republicans. Those sins are joined together in Sodom and Gomorrah. So this brother will come. He was always campaigning. In fact, when I read his sermons, he's attacking Obama. He supports is against gun control. He will fight Obama for supporting. Now, all of you know I don't like Obama. Now, please, I'm bringing an issue. Even though I don't personally agree with him, I was very angry with this man of God who was always coming. You are sending. Imagine you get Pastor Banky's mails, and I'm analyzing Good Lord Jonathan. That why should the wife be telling us that they are sharing blood? What does that mean? You know, those kind of things. You know, after I read that a number of times, that man used to do it, I deleted myself from his mailing group. I sent him a mail, very respectful mail. I explained my reasons. I said, please, sir, you are a man of God. This is not part of your duties. Because that's all he used to do. Is that a campaign for Mitt Romney? Because that was the president that won the Republican primaries. But the man is not a Christian. He's a Mormon. But that's how where he carried it to. And those are the things that Christians should be careful of. You can come to church and half of you are in APC. The other half are in PDP. And the rest. But whatever it is, we can come to... No, really, I'm very serious. We can be in the same church and belong to different parties. Because it's a matter of personal persuasion about some things. But we can be united in the fact that the arrows of God are in the heart of his enemies. We can be united in the fact that God will judge iniquity in the land. We can be united in the fact that God will elevate the righteous and bring down the wicked. We can be united in the fact that prosperity must come to the land and judgment will come with it so that prosperity will have where to be planted. We can be united in all of those things. That's why I was fellowship president on campus when they were doing SUG election once. One man came to say, you know, they start networking, start speaking Christianese. Someone stopped me on the road. He said, we need to take this thing away from unbelievers. I didn't believe him. I didn't believe him. I refused to campaign for it. I didn't go to fellowship. I said, this guy is a brother. He's a brother. You should vote for him. I refused to do that. Go and campaign normally. Come back to church. We pray normally. For your information, if you're a presidential candidate and Israel decides to contest now, all right, for presidency, and then Yinka decides that he's going to be setting president. Do you understand? Everybody agrees, all right, that they are going to politics. When we enter the office and we are gisting, we'll discuss. But when I enter here, I will vote against your party if I don't like your party. And I'll say, ask you, Israel, how far, Otukwu, have they gotten our messages? You and I are preaching the message, but I'm not voting for your party. In fact, you'll be surprised behind. I'll just be saying, tell my wife, I don't know why Israel is contesting. Let's go and vote against him. Let this man miss the will of God for his life. I won't say it in your face. I won't say it. How is it going? Pastor, please pray. Kneel down. Father, in his life, all the enemies of the progress you ordained for him. Did you see the way I just went to be around the political ambition? In the name of Jesus, let them be scattered. Let him follow the will of God. Let your righteousness be exalted in his life. In the name of Jesus. Baby, don't vote for him. But the prayer will still work. The enemy of confusion that sent him into politics, if he was not ordained, he will leave the place. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Please, I hope you have followed me today. I hope you followed me today. What is the summary of what I've said? Let me just say it in 1 minute and then we'll close. And that is the fact that our prayer is just about elevating the word of God. Understanding the desire of God for a nation and just uttering those desires. If we feel like groaning, feel free. Groaning is free. Nobody charges for it. If you don't feel like groaning, don't worry about it. Take that portion of the scriptures and just read that portion out. Just declare it simply. The time has come for you, Lord, to favor us. In the name of Jesus, bring into office those who will liberate your people the way Cyrus liberated the people of Israel. In the name of Jesus Christ. Simple. And you declare that all the time. And I'm asking you, start declaring that from now. If your brother, that is when I say brother, same father, same mother, born 2 years apart, is contesting an election, I forbid you to pray that he should win. Pray for his safety. The thugs won't kill him. Amen. Those who don't like him won't get him. Amen. But you cannot demand of God that he should win. You can't. It's democracy. Vote for him if you support him. But when you want to pray, your prayers must not deviate. One of the reasons why our prayers don't work in Christianity is our prayers are sectarian, they are tribalistic, you understand? They are based on anger. So we pray for elections and God doesn't hear. He doesn't hear. He doesn't hear. That's the reason why he does not hear. Because we are not praying his will. We are praying those desires that we have born out of our own prejudices. If we pray the right prayers, God will move in the land. There's no guarantee our current guy is going to win the next. In fact, even PDP primary itself, he may not win. You know why? PDP or Goodluck Jonathan does not rule in the affairs of man. It is heaven that rules. So unless we know what heaven is saying, there's no guarantee. I hope you've gotten my point. I hope you've gotten my point. I think we've summarized it now. We know how to pray for the nation. Let's now begin to use this. Remember, we are not just here to pray. We are here to learn to pray. And this series, I'm happy. I feel like it's done. You get my point? I feel like I've spoken everything that I have to say in this season concerning praying for a nation. Let's just rise to our feet and just give the Lord thanks. Let us close. Everybody, quickly open your Bible. So that's Psalm 45. Let's read it for our country. First of all, let's just give God thanks. First of all, thank God. Say, Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus because I am important in your plan for this earth. Thank you, Lord, because my words are important. Therefore, everybody, let's read from that verse, from verse 1, Psalm 45. It said, my heart overflows with a good thing. I address my verses to the king, that my tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Now, please just repeat after me from verse 3. Guide your sword on your thigh, O mighty one. Guard your sword on your thigh, O mighty one. In your splendor and in your majesty. He said, in your majesty, ride on victoriously. For the cause of truth and meekness and righteousness. Let your right hand do terrible things. If you have King James, that's the word he uses. Let your right hand do awesome things. Say in your victorious riding, judge iniquity, defend the weak, elevate the righteous, bring down the wicked. In the name of Jesus. Concerning Nigeria, we pray. Say that. Elevate the righteous, bring down the wicked. In top government positions, we ask. Elevate the righteous. Bring down the wicked. Now, let's pray concerning the next election because we talked about it briefly. Say, Lord, concerning the next election, elevate the righteous, bring down the wicked. Now, that in that statement, all we are saying is this. Anyone that we agree with the plan of God to judge iniquity, is very important. Who will look at iniquity and fight it? Who will look at corruption and fight it? Who will look at everything that is wrong in the society and fight it? Who will promote righteousness? Who will promote truth? Who will give freedom, you know, to the spread of the gospel? Who will allow justice to be entrenched in the land? That is the person we are calling righteous. We're not saying he went to church. It's in context. It's in context. In this context, that's what it means. When we say wicked, it's a person who will do the opposite. So let's say one more time. Say, Lord, elevate the righteous. Bring down the wicked. Judge iniquity in the land. In the name of Jesus Christ. One more prayer up and let's pray. Say, into every corner of this nation, send your laborers. Anoint them with power to speak boldly. Lord, as they stretch forth their hands, heal the sick. Deliver the oppressed, raise the dead, in the name of Jesus. Let your gospel comfort with power.
Let your gospel comfort with power.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Say, we pray for this nation.
Into every corner.
The light of Jesus will shine.
The light of Jesus will shine.
Say, Lord, send laborers into the harvest field.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Let's just give the Lord and say, Father, we thank you because you have heard us. This is the confidence we have towards you. When we ask anything according to your will, you hear us.
In the name of Jesus Christ. Let's share the grace in fellowship. Time is gone. Let's share the grace in fellowship. One, two, go.
Because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above in Christ. This is our season of fruitfulness in the name of Jesus Christ. One more time. This is my season of fruitfulness.